This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Wapagan Ampake Pagan alongside Bahe Yusuf. The Alienist is a brand new series on the TNT network in the United States. We get it here on Netflix. I believe it's
10 episodes.
It's 10 episodes.
Limited series.
It is based on the novel by Caleb Carr, which came out in 1994, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Is it a series book?
No, I think it's a single book.
Oh.
And it's had something of a convoluted journey to the screen. Actually, back then, I believe a movie was greenlit and then dumped. And then Cary Fukunaga, who was responsible for True Detective, was actually attached to the series. I think he still has an executive producer credit on this series.
Oh.
And it stars Daniel Brühl, Luke Evans, and Dakota Fanning. And essentially, the story is about Laszlo Kreisler, who is an alienist. Now, the show has nothing to do with aliens. Both Bahir and I thought,
yeah,
this is a show about aliens.
When it came on Netflix, I was like, ooh, a period piece on aliens.
Oh, this, yes, I should mention,
Apologies,
19th century New York.
Yes.
And no, it's used to describe the mentally unbalanced because they were considered to be alienated from themselves.
Yes.
And thus, a person who studies that group of people is called an alienist.
The first episode opens up with this, with text on screen stating that the alienist, exactly as you mentioned earlier about what it is and
yeah, so you have about 30 seconds to decide whether you want to see a period detective piece or a show that's not about aliens.
Yeah. Either way, I think if you're a listener of ours, I think you'll like it. It's a really interesting story. There's some violence there. There's a little bit of gore, but it's a psychological thriller set in early 19th century New York,
but
with Daniel Brühl.
With Daniel Brühl, right? I mean, Daniel Brühl is absolutely fantastic in this. And he is in almost everything he does, maybe with the exception of The Cloverfield Paradox, which is an absolute disaster. But
well, you can't blame that on him.
But
he was good.
Him.
He was good in it.
Exactly. It's just a movie that was terrible.
Yeah.
Now, with The Alienist, however, it has a very Holmes and Watson approach. I mean, Daniel Brühl's character, Laszlo, is a little bit more aloof. He's got a bit of that Holmesian flair. Meanwhile, Luke Evans and Dakota Fanning are a conjoined street smart Watson.
Yeah.
That kind of guide him along the
way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also because like Daniel Brühl's Laszlo also has that pain in the butt Holmesian bit of just not caring what anybody else thinks as long as he gets what he needs to get this information. Yeah, he's that completely emotionless, completely unflinching to other people's emotions and or how other people are reacting to what he's saying or what he's doing.
And it's because of his genius that everyone else puts up with that nonsense, which
yeah.
is similar to the Holmes, the Dr. House, the monk. I mean, we've seen this character in a lot of television, in a lot of movies, and I think that trope has been used quite a bit. But that being said, this feels like something entirely original.
What really keeps me watching is that its setting is about 1895, 1800, late 1800s. But as they're going along, they drop the story, the series drops in a lot of these things of just how they're just coming to terms with a lot of these things. Like how they're just coming to terms with psychological issues, psychological effects of people. There's a character who's got a silver smile and the explanation of why he's got a silver smile is completely fascinating. Also, the Teddy Roosevelt's the police commissioner at the time. And there's one scene where he's issuing everybody the new revolver. You know, it's these things that we now take for granted that police officers walk around with guns, that police officers have got, or rather, police bureaus have got a belief in science, how they're looking at fingerprint analysis and DNA hair analysis and all these things that we take for granted now, this show sort of addresses as almost like newfangled fiction, how the old people don't believe in it. The Irish cops go like, that's ridiculous. That's just hokum, you know? And that's great.
You
got to
walk
that.
The streets. I mean,
you got to walk the streets. You just
that's
walk.
That's their philosophy, right?
You do the beat, right?
I had no idea that President Teddy Roosevelt was actually the police commissioner. Yeah. He was. He
was
throughout the 1890s.
Yeah.
I mean, he also led the charge against corruption in the police force. And that was something he actually did. There are a few more real-life characters that pop up, I think including J.P. Morgan kind of pops up in an episode as well. It does interesting things by weaving in real historical characters into this fiction.
Yeah.
That being said, this is something quite different from what we're used to, because this show focuses on the mechanics of crime-solving, as opposed to what we're used to watching on TV these days, which is somewhat obsessed with the mind of the serial killer.
Right? Well, I mean, Laszlo does a bit of that. He's the only one trying to do it.
Because that's his process,
that's
right?
That's his process.
He believes to solve the crime, you
everybody
have to get into the mind of the killer.
Everybody else is going through the science, which is interesting. So there you see both sides of it. So it's not just a show where it's purely procedure, or just a show purely about the mind and the psychology of something.
But if you're obsessed with the kind of shows like Criminal Minds or even Elementary, you're so used to looking into the mind of the killer or getting into the mind of the killer, this show can come across as being somewhat dull and dreary because it is a slow burn. And because it's a slow burn, it may be a little difficult for a lot of people to get into. I mean, we said it's a 10-episode series, but at the same time, it plays out like a book. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end.
And when we say 10-episode series, it's not each episode's one crime that they're solving. They're generally going through one big major crime that's taking them down certain alleyways that they have to come back out of. So it's one case, really.
And that one case is actually the murder of little boys or little boy prostitutes in the city. And that's a fantastic case. I mean, the show opens up, and if that doesn't get you hooked, then I don't know what will. There's a fantastic scene. There's a patrolman that's trudging through the snow, and it's shot at this really great angle. It's neither top down nor bottom up. It's kind of like a mid height angle looking down upon this patrolman as he's walking through the snow. It's all white and gray. And then there's this drop of blood that falls onto his cheek from up above, right? And it's great because it builds the tension almost immediately.
Yeah. And then once he's figured out that it's blood, the way he reacts, he runs and starts clanging on the bridge.
Like a bridge?
Like a structure
of a
bridge. Yeah, a pillar. He starts clanging on it, and then cops down the other beat will hear
they hear
it,
the
and
clang.
Then they start clanging on. So it's just like Morse code. I don't know if that's accurate.
I don't know
but
if that's
really
accurate. But before you
it's
know
really
it,
cool.
The camera pans back and all of New York City is clanging, right?
Yeah, you hear this thing.
And it pans back to reveal the Statue of Liberty. So you immediately know where it is.
Yes. And then a couple of minutes later in that episode, you realize that that bridge is actually the Brooklyn Bridge that they're just building.
Yes.
It was just like, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
very,
like,
very well shot. Yeah. It's very, very clever. It creates a time and place. The world building here is absolutely magnificent. Mm. It feels a little bit like what we got with Scorsese and Gangs of New York.
Yes, yeah.
And that's what I love most about the show as a period piece, because a lot like shows like Peaky Blinders and stuff, there's a level of filth and grime that feels real. I mean, the problem I have with a lot of period pieces set in, say, Asia, like Serangoon Road, which HBO produced, was that everything was so clean.
It feels, it's an idealized, romanticized version of history, right? This is, you know, Peaky Blinders. I mean, Peaky Blinders is interesting that you mentioned, because I lived in the area of Birmingham for about six to 8 months, and a lot of the area still looks a bit like that. But you're right, there's a grime to it. You know there's a character to it. So when I'm watching Peaky Blinders, I'm looking and I'm remembering about the places I've been. It's like, yeah, that's what it looks like. Those bricks are dirty because people would drag coal through there, you know? People burn coal there. And it's this grime. It's not going to be, you know, just dusty street side roads, because that's not... because that's what Serangoon Road looks like. They just want to make, oh, it's dusty. It's like...
people need to look like they haven't had a shower in a while because nobody had showers,
nobody
right?
Nobody had
exactly,
showers.
Exactly, exactly. We're revisiting Scorsese's New York. I mean, everyone is kind of grimy, dirty. Everyone's got fantastic beards and mustaches. Yeah. And it's also this stark contrast between the haves and the have-nots.
Yes.
And that's the other thing that he does really, really well. The showrunners do really, really well in in world building this New York.
I mean, they don't show too much of the haves. We hang around with the have-nots quite a bit.
A lot.
But I mean, we also forgot to mention Luke Evans is in this show.
Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Gaston's in this show. And his character is sort of straddling the haves and the have-nots, I think. He's sort of a middle class, which is still pretty lavish in those days, right? Because with the haves, you can tell their houses are cleaner, their clothes are cleaner, they hold themselves up to a different standard, and other people hold them to a different standard, right? And that's important because that's where the corruption's coming from. That's where the first suspected murderers are coming from, because these people would just throw money at the commissioner and it will go away.
There is a grown-up Dakota Fanning. I did not recognize her at first.
It took me a while.
She plays the first woman on the police force, Sarah Howard, and gets involved in both John Moore, played by Luke Evans, and Laszlo Kreisler, played by Daniel Brühl. She gets involved in the case.
Is she a real person?
I don't know. I haven't looked it up. Okay. I haven't looked up if Sarah Howard was actually the first woman on the New York police force. What's interesting about her character as well is because she's the first woman on the force, she's got to put up with a lot of sexism. And I think at that point, Dakota Fanning really shines in the role because she has the best stares.
Yeah, she's got that. She has that, I really don't care what you think. You know you're checking out my behind, but I'm here to do a job. And when, okay, let's sort of clarify. She's the first person on the police force, but she's not an actual police officer.
No.
She's the commissioner's secretary.
That's right.
Yes, so it's a start, I guess, but
It's 1890. It's probably 1890s. What happened.
Absolutely.
Right? Exactly.
But you're right. I think Dakota Fanning, when she doesn't, I don't know if she does very well up against Daniel Brühl or Luke Evans in their scenes. They've got some really sort of strong emotional scenes. Daniel Brühl and her has got some dark scenes, but she still feels a little overpowered by those guys acting-wise. But when she's with the police force, she's great.
Yeah. No, I think I strongly recommend The Alienist for anyone who likes a thriller, who likes the procedural. Mm. This one feels quite different. If you are someone who gets queasy, a word of warning. I mean, apparently the showrunners were given $50 million to put this show together. And a lot of that money seems to be spent on creating really lifelike corpses.
Yeah. And
they're quite disgusting. I mean, the murders are quite gruesome.
Also, I like that they didn't shy away from it.
Oh, they show you up close.
They shot the crap out of those dead bodies.
Yeah.
Right, there's one point. I mean, they'll even show you the autopsy sequence.
Yes,
there are a couple are really great. And again, this is autopsies in 1890, so not great.
No.
Try not to eat. I had a stupid habit of eating every time I watched the show. I always regret it.
Go watch The Alienist. It's now streaming on Netflix. Let us know what you think when you've seen it. I'm on Twitter, at Umar Pagan.
I'm at Bahiwai.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.